Welcome back, you guys, to the Butterfly Season podcast. I have a returning guest, Sam Harper, one of my best friends. Last episode, I cried. This episode, she cried. It's so good. It's so vulnerable. It's so authentic. We went to places that I didn't think that we would even go to or touch on. And we talk about like masculine, femininity, and we get deep on those terms. I feel like these terms are thrown out and we don't really know what they truly mean. We go really deep on that and we talk about what it means to show up as your higher self. And I'm excited for you guys to dive into this one. I'm so happy to have you here.
Happy again to be back.
Yes. It's Mercury retrograde.
As we are very aware of.
We're feeling it. So just a heads up for anyone listening, you kind of know what's going on. No, but I'm so grateful that you're here today, especially under these circumstances. And by circumstances, I mean you are typically on the side of things where you're helping people facilitate their own transformation.
Yeah.
And now we're at a different side of things where I want to talk about your transformation. And what comes with that is the vulnerability of all the things that you've worked through. And the reason why I brought you on is because you were one of the first people to allow me to test my like framework that I had been working on that I before like actually coming to or birthing the book.
100%.
Yes.
So excited.
Yes. So thank you for that. But also I do want to acknowledge that the importance of honoring all that it is to be so vulnerable about the things that you've unearthed. So thank you for that.
I'm already tearing up. Okay, here we go.
I think last time I was crying on my podcast with you. So this is fitting. It's fitting. So Sam, I mean, we could just jump right into it.
That's how we do it.
Let's go. That's how we do it. No lubrication, no warm-up, no anything.
No.
We could just go right into it. Generally, before we went through the framework, before you went through the journal, what new awareness or different perspective on awareness that you might have had, what was new that came up for you in that process?
Well, there was a lot of new things that were surfacing for me because, you know, as we grow, we learn deeper levels of ourselves, and I am a lifelong student of growth and development. And so for me, finding new levels of awareness and the inner journey is always something going on for me. And I feel like karmically in this lifetime, it's all about interpersonal relationships. And so it's really about that. Like, I feel like I've got business figured out. I've got like certain areas in my life that I'm like, oh, that's cinchy, as you would say, you know, like pretty easy, like fluid, but relationships in general, and lots of different relationship dynamics has always been like that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't I figure this out? Or like, what is really going on here that I'm not seeing? And so it was new layers of awareness of deeper parts of a relationship and coming out of like a pretty wounded spot into really developing self-worth. And then that just takes you into deeper parts of that. And
right.
So that's where we landed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about your self-worth journey. I feel like there's such a misconception on self-worth, self-love, confidence.
Yeah.
These are terms that we use often, but I think that self-worth and self-love end up being two different terms that are not an embodied feeling the way confidence could seem like, whether you have it or not. Typically, we could embody that feeling. I feel like that's fake it till you make it, right? But when it comes to self-worth, it's, to me, felt like a mystical word that I would hear and didn't understand because I'm like, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Thinking I'm confident.
Right.
I would love to hear what your self-worth journey has been like. What was it before? What did you work through? Where was the awareness around that? And what are you working on now?
That's so beautiful. So I think it starts off with self-confidence, right? And then that morphs, no pun intended, morphs into the self-worth journey. So to have confidence, like you said, is just being consistent, like showing up for yourself. You can be confident and not feel worthy. But I don't think you can be worthy and not have confidence. Like, it doesn't work backwards.
Right.
So for me, it was like really getting through the confidence thing of no longer faking it till you make it, like really feeling confident about myself and how I show up and being just in integrity of who I am. But with that, I was like, wait a second, why is this not enough? Right. And so similar to how I think people think like, okay, if I have X amount of money in the bank account, then I'll be happy. Well, if I have this amount of confidence, then that means I'm worthy. And it's not, it doesn't match up that way. And so for me, it was really understanding like what self-worth meant. And I remember probably 7 years ago, I was doing some like a workshop or something. And this girl asked me like about my self-worth. And I was just like, What? I didn't have anything to say to her. And that was like very striking because I had never met myself there.
Right.
And so the journey of self-worth is like really discovering the parts of me that feel sovereign and like a birthright and coming back to that truth and it not being what somebody else deems me as, but me in myself as my being is worthy in and of itself. So coming to the truth of that by taking other people out of the variables and it just being me against me essentially. And that's again, like these interpersonal relationships that in and of itself with me too, like not just personal relationships outside of me, but what's my relationship like with myself. And so that's like the beginning of the journey for me for self-worth at least.
Can you give me a tangible example? I'll start with mine.
Okay.
So because I love what you said, and I think that at least my journey has been, I hear a lot of people say these things. I can logically understand it, but why is it working for them and not for me? And what I didn't realize that in terms of worthiness, where I was feeling like I wasn't worthy is by giving all of my stuff away to try to get something.
Yeah.
So I would, someone would ask me even for help. And I would be like, oh, I can do this. 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 Until I'm like, I actually, if I did all of those things, it would be so out of integrity.
Yeah.
Not just generally, but I would be stretching myself thin as fuck to do that.
Right, right, right.
But I would still do it because I feel like my worth is attached to, my self-worth is attached to how well I can help you at the thing. And so if it's attached to how well I can help you at the thing, I will pull out the gambit of things that I can do to help you.
Exactly.
Right? But then I've just self-abandoned myself because I did 50,000 things. You literally asked for one thing.
Yeah.
But because I've attached my worth to it and my worth is infinite, I am just worthy as a human being because I am, because you just, not because you said it, but you also said it.
Yeah.
And that's how I would, that is where I realized, oh, my self-worth is low.
Yeah, wrapped up in like the giving, right? So mine would be in love of, okay, if I, it's similar, like if I do this inside of a relationship, then that means I'm lovable. And if I'm lovable, then that means I'm worthy. And so that's how it showed up over and over and over again throughout my life with my parents who were emotionally unavailable, physically unavailable, like just not around. And so as a child, it was like, okay, can I perform or like be the A student or, you know, be a good girl? And then if I do that, then they'll love me. And then that means I'm worthy, right? Like I'm worth being here on this planet.
Right.
If I don't have that, then who am I?
Right.
Right. And then that showed up in a lot of ways, a lot in college, you know, like giving away my time, my energy, my attention, everything, all of it, right? In this like almost desperate way of like, love me, love me, love me, love me. Like, just look at me, love me, you know? And now I look back and I'm like, oh, sweet girl, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't catch this earlier. But it still was showing up in my life, like, not that long ago of like, okay, if I sacrifice, it usually comes down to sacrifice for me, is if I sacrifice this part of me, then they'll love me more, then I'm worthy. then that's what I'm bringing, you know? Right. How much can I sacrifice? And it's probably like, now that I'm speaking this out loud, my aunt on my dad's side, you know, very Catholic. And the more you sacrifice, the more heavenly you are, the, you know, like all of that. And so it was like, it was a good thing to sacrifice.
Right. And I almost feel like in my journey, and I feel like you might be able to see your version of this, but in my journey, the giving everything away was on the outside things that were praised. Mm-hmm. So if I even just, because my worth would be tied to all of the things, right? Like when you're on a self-worth journey, yeah, you realize your worth is tied to everything except for yourself, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so in the version, in the lane of business, I would tie my worth to my doing and what I would do. And mm-hmm. I remember even back when I had my agency, I have a creative brain, but I'm not the person that's like in Adobe doing the thing.
Right.
I'm the person that's like, these three things, this is the vibe, try to move it like this and morph it and whatever. And I felt like having a graphic designer on our team made me, I kept feeling like this, but I didn't understand what it meant. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was unworthy. Unworthy is a wrong word. I felt like, why do I feel like I'm not valued? Or why do I feel like if I have her here or him here in this role, why do I feel like the client's going to fire us and just try to work with them?
Right.
Like right. Those were the feelings. It was never, oh, self-worth, because mm-hmm. I had no real idea about that. Mm-hmm. But it was always the feeling of, oh, the client is going to work with them. And then what's my use? Mm-hmm. What's my role? So what I would do is I would take on so much of the work because I felt like, well, that's how I really have value in the situation.
Yeah.
How did self-worth show up for you in relationships? It could be for the romantic lane, the friendship lane, the acquaintance lane. Mm-hmm. How has that showed up for you before you had the awareness, and what did it feel like?
So if I had what looked like on the outside as something that looked really good, then that means I'm worthy, mm-hmm. right? Like I have this partner, it looks great. I have this business, it looks great. I have like, well, I can't really count Quinn. He is the best, but like my son, you know, like, and he's like a cutie pie. And so it's like, the facade of things looking good, but really none of it is super great.
Right.
So it was like, well, if it looks good, then that means I'm worthy, right? And if it doesn't, then I don't have anything to provide. I remember a friend of mine, probably 5 years ago, she had called me and she's like, Sam, why do you always have to like look good or like be on or like always dress up, you know? And I was just like, at the time, I was just like, that's who so I am. I like to look good. I like to present myself in a certain way. And then now, years later, I'm like, oh, I wasn't even allowing myself to be messy, because if I looked messy or undone or not perfect, then I didn't feel worthy. Mm. And now I'm like, I'm showing up everywhere, like really undone. And we were like kind of joking right before we started recording about outing myself on TikTok. And I'm like, that was a really, really messy part of my life.
Yeah.
And it's because now I don't depend on other people accepting it or not. It just is what it is. And like, I know that I'm worthy regardless.
Yeah. And so do you remember the feeling that you would use to define worth? I know your background is therapy.
Yeah.
I know that you have so much to your repertoire, so you have the verbiage. But for mm-hmm. somebody who doesn't have the verbiage, to know that it's worthiness is mm-hmm. the core issue. Because mm-hmm. I remember, you tell me.
Yeah, I would say, and we've talked about this, is like outsourcing or like depending on somebody to fulfill something for you that you can fulfill for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's that of like worthiness really comes down to fulfilling all of your needs in yourself, like really, truly everything, everything, everything. And then everybody on the outside, that's just like a cherry on top. It's right. a nice additive to the sauce you've already got.
Right.
You know? And that's what I was doing too. I was like depending on other people to fulfill something in me that they were never going to be able to fulfill. because it's not their job
right.
to create my worthiness. It's mine. And so it was like outsourcing that to other people. And I was in like a really deep breath work with Stefanos a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, where it like really clicked for me. I'm like, oh my God, it's always been me. Like, it's always been me to be the one to decide. And it really is a decision of like, I'm worthy regardless if somebody likes me, doesn't like me, if I perform well, if I don't perform well, if I'm showing up perfectly or if I'm showing up messy. I'm worthy regardless. And so it's not outsourcing that to other people anymore. Outsourcing my trust, outsourcing like even little things, you know? And now it's just like, it's not to the point of like toxic independence, because that's not it either. Like, we need people in our lives, but yeah. It's like, I'm totally fulfilled in myself and anything extra is great.
Right. What does toxic independence look like?
That's, you know, for me, I'll speak for myself, is when I get like hyper independent and I'm like, no, I can do it all myself. I don't need you. And I remember in relationship being like, I don't need you, I want you. And realizing that actually was not helpful in a relationship at all.
Why?
People want to be wanted, right? And it really did like dawn on me like, oh, I actually do need your help.
Right.
Like, we cannot do everything by ourselves. Right. You know? I can try, and I'm pretty good at it because I've like grown up doing that, right? But I do need people. But not in the way that like that phrase comes out.
Right.
Not like I need you to survive, but like actually I do need help.
Right.
It's humility, you know?
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about some of the fears that come up now that you are being the person to meet your own need.
Mm.
For me, mm-hmm. I'll go first. Mm-hmm. Because I tied my worth to calling it let's just call it a performance. It doesn't matter yeah. what it is. I'm not literally tap dancing.
Right.
Although that was one of the ways it started.
Really? But that,
yeah. Right? Like performing and my mom not being there. But when I was yeah. the best, when I was the best in the room, then parents would mm-hmm. tell my mom how great she is. And then I would get praise from my mom.
Right.
Performance equals love.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the fears that have come up in my interpersonal relationships is if we remove the performance, mm-hmm. if you remove the expectation of performance from me, I feel like now you're not going to be my friend. Now mm-hmm. we're not going to be in partnership. Now we're not going to be in relation together mm-hmm. because what do I now? That's just the thing that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
That is the fear that I met with. I literally just went through this loop with my husband.
Yeah.
He'd removed expectation on something. And I'm like, I started crying. And he's like, why are you crying? And I was like, I feel like this means you're going to leave me. And he's yeah. like, how did we get here? And I'm like, that's just the fear that comes up when you remove the expectation of performance of me.
Right.
And it's like so crazy because our minds take us to this place where if I don't perform because my worth is attached to it, then I don't get the love. If I mm-hmm. don't get the love, that means I lose everyone around me.
Yeah.
What fear comes up for you?
Well, this is something that we've talked about, is the void, right? If I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, and there's a void, there's a space that's left for the unknown, that's a really scary place for me to be because I like to fill the void.
Right.
I like the spaces to be where they're supposed to be.
Right.
I'm sounding like a control freak right now.
But at the end of the day, that is what this all is, right? Like yeah. for me, control, at least, yes. it's control, yes. right? I will yeah. people please to control.
Yeah.
I will emotionally monitor the room to control. Mm-hmm. I will outsource my safety for perceived control.
Of course.
It's right. all this like illusion of control at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Guised in whatever words that we want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing about this void that you and I talk about is that you're leaving room for a different action to happen. Because all of this yeah. is just patterns.
Right.
It's just a repeated pattern, right? My performance equals love is a repeated pattern from my mm-hmm. childhood. And I just bring it into every facet of my mm-hmm. life now. And now I get the exact same outcome every yeah. time. And the void is choosing a different pattern
mm-hmm.
to get a different outcome. But what happens is when you choose something different, you leave space for something else to happen.
Right.
But the fear will mm-hmm. try to fill that space.
Right. And it does fill that space. But what we should all know is that fear is really our companion. And if we can collaborate with fear, then it's just showing us what's important to us. Mm-hmm. And so it's not something to be like fearful of. It's like, right. Okay, I see you. You're showing me that this is important to me. How can we collaborate in this experience to bring something different, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, the fear, right, is the void of not having somebody with me. And because, you know, as I mentioned, like my parents weren't really around. I started living on my own when I was 16 and then filling those voids with other people to either, you know, perceived stability, because it was always that, or safety, or somebody loving me because I was lacking that. And so now the void for me is like, how much space can I have? And just like really fiercely loving myself and allowing me to fill that void.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know, right now, I don't feel very fearful of that. I feel really good in that.
Yeah.
But 2 months ago is a different story.
Right. It's so funny. I was on a walk with a friend and I was like telling a story and I'm like, yeah, and I did this and I did that. And I was like, kind of like poking fun at like the version of me that was a week ago. And she's like, that was a week ago. And I'm like, girl, I am not her.
No.
It was a week ago, and I've been 10 different people since then.
Exactly, especially right now. Like, things are moving so quickly, and awareness is coming to the surface very fast, and answers are coming very, like, there's a lot of clarity. And so, yeah, we're not the same person we were in November when we were, like, starting talking about this.
Right.
And then, I don't know about you, but I've had, like, a million deaths since November. Yes. So, like, I'm brand new.
Yes, brand new. A million different versions, better versions.
Yeah.
My therapist asked me when we were talking about what happens for me, and I don't know if this happens for you, but, like, what happens for me with this, like, performance equals love is that I'm constantly competing with everybody at anything.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time where I would walk into a room and I can just, because I'm great at emotionally monitoring, which trauma response, I can also see who's the best.
Yeah.
And then my whole focus is just beating that person. It was a lot of the reason why I stopped going to the gym that I was going to. I literally could not even help myself.
Wow.
And it would be all consuming. And I couldn't even run my own race because I was so focused on beating someone else that the moment I focused on myself, I would pick myself apart. And it was just like, I need tools to navigate this. I'm going to leave the gym so that I can work on myself to then go back to the gym. Yeah. And then, right? Because it's, I mean, it's like a high intensity training. We all do it as a collective, so you can see who's not, right?
Right.
But like, if you're running your own race, you really don't give a fuck about that.
You can't. There's no room for that.
There's no room. But because I was outsourcing, that was what was coming back to me. The feedback was that I was my own worst enemy. And I think part of my self-love journey is loving myself in spite of feeling how bad about myself that I would feel when I would talk about myself badly to myself.
Right.
And being able to be like, okay, to your point, allowing the fear to be a companion or this like inner critic to be a companion to show me what I really want. And what I really want is if I want to be the best in the room, it's not because I'm competing for it. It's because I'm going there weekly to this gym or daily or whatever. I'm consistent in my own journey. That is how I'm the best. And my therapist goes, so are you the best? She asked me that, are you the best? And I was like, well, I mean, there's other people like in my space that, and she was like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? You asked me if I was the best. And I was like, how can I answer that? I would need a pool of people to tell you if I'm the best. I need to know.
Right.
If we're ranking, there has to be someone else. She's like, no, are you the best version that you've ever been today? And I'm like, I am the best that I've ever been today. I have the most awareness that I've ever had. Yes. I have the most clarity on the things that I've ever had. I am the absolute best I have ever been.
Let's go.
And I was like, oh shit, that's what it means to run your own race. So I share that because I want to know what your self-love journey has been.
Like long and steady and lots of like side paths to go on and lots of running the same lap over and over again, thinking I would find something new. And really right now it's about showing up for myself and going a lot slower. So I was talking to my therapist this week or a couple weeks ago, and I was like really reflecting. So here I am outing myself. I was engaged. I'm no longer engaged, and the typical version of me would go in guns a blazing. And fight through it. And like be hard. And this time I'm not. it's like soft.
And what's the fear that comes up in the softness? Because this feels like a void.
It is a fear. So an old version of me would have just like gone heavy in the fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended beautifully, so there was no space for that.
Right.
So I couldn't do that, right? There was no reason to, and I wasn't going to make up a reason to. And I would have just gone hard into the, I'm going to glow up so hard you're going to regret your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I didn't have that desire. And I wanted to go slow. And I didn't necessarily want to have the glow up. And I thought it was actually interesting. I spent like 3 weeks kind of hibernating. Not looking pretty. Looking real messy. And not going back into like hard workouts. Like that's what I would do. I'd go like CrossFit or like super hard in the gym. I would start a new business. I would go on a really amazing vacation. I would literally try to make somebody regret their entire existence. Because, like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what you missed out on. And there was no space for that this time. And so the fear, I think, that came up initially, I'm not fearful of it anymore. Because, you know, a week ago I was somebody different.
Because, right. You know, that's older. I mean, I'm a new her now, but.
Right. But the initial fear was, if I don't go hard, am I going to be able to survive?
Mm.
Because I'm a warrior. And that's how I have survived everything in the past, is like muscle it, you know, grit through it, pull your bootstraps up and go. Like, just go. You cannot look backwards. They don't deserve your glance back. Like, you just have to go. And now it's like, I can be slow and I'm soft and I'm staying in my feminine, which is a discipline for me because I'm like really good at being in the masculine. And so the fear is like, is this weak? If I stay soft and open, is this weak? No, it's not.
It's actually a really difficult thing to do.
It's really difficult. I'm really proud of myself.
I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
And self-love is being proud of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. What I like to do for kind of like tracking my progress and my growth is I like to revisit old places that I've been, either physically or like even go into conversation with people from the past. And just kind of do like a pulse check, like, where am I at in this dynamic? And I had an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody from a few years ago, and I left the conversation like, wow, I am so different. I love myself so much. I am so worthy. And I was like journaling it all out, and I'm like, I can provide so much better for myself. And so it was like a really beautiful aha moment. Right. So that's also like a good pulse check of like where your self-worth growth is at.
Right. When you say I'm worthy, mm-hmm. of what? I feel like there are people who are listening. I know there's a version of me,
yeah.
that I had no clue what worthiness meant. I had this friend who like had this podcast on worthiness. Her name's Sandra Chuma.
Mm-hmm.
I voice noted her and was like, I am being told that I need to work on my self-worth. I have no clue what that means or what that is. And when you say, I'm worthy of what?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, and I know now that it's different iterations, but yeah. In this moment, when you're like, I know I'm worthy, I love myself so much, I'm worthy of what?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's, you know, not outsourcing, being loved by somebody else to make love mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love me. And for, I think, to the, like, the point, like, the root of all of it is we all have different versions of what worthy means.
Right.
And what is at the core of that. Some of it's love. Most of the time it's love. But it can be safety. It can be acceptance. But acceptance means what?
Right.
You know, love, right. Typically.
Right.
Like, it all comes back to that. So for me, it's being lovable, having love, receiving love, giving love without circumstances, without consequences, without self-abandoning. Worthy for me is like just knowing who I am.
What were some ways that you would, what are some ways that you love yourself, that you're loving yourself now, that you are showing yourself love now, or showing yourself that you're worthy now that you wouldn't typically before?
It really is staying soft, staying really soft and feminine and keeping my heart open. Because prior it was like, I'm going to give you part of me. You're going to validate I'm worthy of love. That means I have some power and control, right? It's like this like back and forth thing. It's like very codependent. And now it's like, I don't need any of that. And so, I don't know. I'm actually really interested to see how this is going to unfold for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not going into like the hard parts of myself,
right?
And being really strong, like quote unquote strong, like not keeping the shells and the barricades and the locks and like all the things right. Up against me is. I still feel very open, and like literally. Even the smallest parts of my life, like I'm eating differently because it feels softer in my body. Mm. I'm doing Pilates instead of doing like a hard HIIT workout. I'm, you know, sleeping in a little bit more when before I was like, okay, 5 a.m. club, like we got to get up and hustle. You know, it's like small iterations in my daily routine that really add up to make me love myself and feel really worthy of my existence, like purpose.
Right.
And deep love of the self.
It's so interesting because I feel like with respect to self-worth and talking about something from an embodied place, and mm-hmm. by embodied, I mean wisdom. And when I say wisdom, I mean by a lived experience.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm unpacking these words is because I feel like for so long when I would hear people talk about, I'm in my feminine, I need to be in my feminine, I need to be in flow,
yeah.
I'm worthy, I'm like, all of these, like, I get it logically, mm-hmm. but, like, tangibly, what the fuck?
Right, yeah.
And so I've noticed in my own journey, the deeper I get with myself,
mm-hmm.
meaning when I meet myself in the shadowy parts, what do I mean by shadow? The parts that I felt like I didn't love about myself.
Yeah.
And realize, okay, why do I feel this way? What is this telling me? How can I be a companion with the fear? Mm-hmm. How can I take a new action that allows the fear to show up so that I could be in a void
yeah.
to allow something new to create in my life, a new pattern? I've noticed that in that depth, I start to feel more.
Mm-hmm.
By feeling more, I feel happiness way more. I feel sadness way more.
Yeah.
I feel love way more. And I didn't think that there was a more to more, mm-hmm. right? Like you're like, yeah, I love you.
I've capped out.
This is the max love I could ever feel. And then I'm like, wow, I'm loving myself so much more. And I feel like I have that much more to give to someone else.
Yeah.
And it ends up being, actually heard that this was wrong, but as above, so below, or the above mm-hmm. is the below, however you want to yeah. phrase that. But it's true. Like the depth in which I can meet myself
mm-hmm.
allows me to meet other people. And it's not lost on me that this is an interpersonal relationship is what you're talking about. Relationships,
yeah.
right? Worth around interpersonal relationships, whether that be romantic, friendship, whatever it is, business,
mm-hmm.
you meeting yourself here and being soft here allows you to experience the depth of the pain, allows you to yeah. experience the maximum, the equal opposite. I mean, it's a universal law.
Yes.
It's a universal law.
Yeah. So how that's showing up in my life, just to like unpack it a little bit more, I'm like the feminine and the softness, right? So I could go hard and then things would be hard. Or I could stay soft, which I've been in. And what I'm receiving by staying in the soft is more abundant than I've ever had.
Mm.
And so I'm receiving at a capacity that I didn't even know was available to me, because I wouldn't let myself stay soft or even like explore that, because I thought I needed to be hyper independent and strong and masculine and get shit done and all that. So yeah, to your point, is being soft has allowed me to receive. And then I'm not feeling like I have to outsource. I'm just accepting.
Right. It's like this acceptance, which I feel like ends up being balance.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but most of the time. And what I'm coming to realize is that the pendulum will swing.
Yeah.
And it's our purpose to be in balance and harmony with this side of the pendulum and this side of the pendulum. Mm-hmm. Because you could go back, you could go hyper feminine and then foot off the gas in the masculine, but then we have intention with no action.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go hyper on the masculine and we only have action, no intention. And we're wondering why like the morality of it all feels off.
Mm-hmm.
But the balance is where your intentions meet your actions.
Yeah.
And then true change happens.
Mm-hmm.
How are you preventing yourself from allowing the pendulum to swing fully? If you are actually receiving abundance by being in so much flow.
Yeah. So it could be a slippery slope, right? But for me, like, I truly don't believe in balance. So hot take here. And I think that we have moments of balance, but to be in a state of balance, I don't believe in, because we're oscillating always. Like, we woke up this morning feeling a certain way. The day brought us into a different part of the pendulum, right? And so for me, it's really like bringing the ends of the pendulum closer together. So rather than them swinging from one side to this far edge side, it's making the pendulum smaller. And so the vibration between the two is much smaller. And then it feels like it's in balance,
mm-hmm.
but really like you're not drifting too far from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm finding myself at right now, is how can I find those like micro moments in between. I don't want a huge pendulum. I want a tiny little microscopic pendulum.
Controllable pendulum.
It's not about control.
I'm just joking with you. I'm just joking with you. But with respect to that, having not much variance,
mm-hmm.
how I feel like someone listening might be like, that's exhausting. I have to, and I think it could be because I have to be so present.
Yeah.
To be able to flip it back and forth and flip it back and forth.
You do have to be present.
You do. But what would you say to somebody who's like, this is so exhausting? That seems exhausting. It seems more exhausting to be, right, a smaller swivel, because you're there's a constant reframe. There's a constant redirection.
Yeah.
You're being proactive, yes, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like you get better outcomes when you're proactive, as opposed to allowing yourself to be in so much flow and receive and receive and receive. And then now you've gotten somewhere and you're like, wait, I lost myself.
Right.
Or in so much action and you're like, wait, I lost myself.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like on cruise control for a little bit. And then eventually you arrive to the point where you're tired of your own shit.
Yeah.
And then you make a change. Mm-hmm. But what would you say to somebody who is like, that feels exhausting?
It is exhausting. But in that journey, you gain spiritual resilience, energetic resilience. And that's the whole point, right? Is to have the capacity to hold larger space, have a wider bandwidth to experience yourself. And in that is when the pendulum actually gets smaller. It's how much of you can you hold?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're used to running away from ourselves, that's like the easy way out. You know, that's why people who have grown up in trauma love chaos. We understand chaos. I know what to do in chaos. My body knows how to respond in chaos. I'll choose chaos because I know it's predictable. when you're holding space for yourself and loving yourself in the shadow and the light and the masculine and the feminine in these micro moments of balance, is that's where you're able to like really feel into the presence of self and not run away from the self. And it's just like anything new that you're trying out, like it's going to take some time. It's a muscle that you have to train a little bit. But once you're training it, there's no turning back. There's no, like, when you know, you know.
Yeah, when you know, you can't unknow.
You cannot unknow.
And now you're making a conscious decision to choose the wrong thing, which ends up feeling even harder than when you were subconsciously choosing the wrong thing.
I'll say it does come with, like, how do I describe this even? Like, your soul signed up for it, for one. And so you're going to get there eventually. But it's like, how long do you want to be on the journey? And imagine the output of energy that it takes going from one side of the pendulum to the huge other side of the pendulum rather than these micro ones, right? I would rather use my energy and well spent in the micro moments, knowing that I'll get a better output there than trying to recalibrate every time. So yes, it's hard, but your soul is ready and prepared for it. You wouldn't even be thinking about it if it wasn't your time. And this is maybe just an initiation into that, or like a clue, like a little breadcrumb of like, I've heard that a couple of times. Why does that keep coming up? And then, you know, rabbit hole, then you're deep, you're deep, right. You're down there.
And then everyone else at the bottom like, welcome!
Hello!
With tears in their eyes, happy and painful ones. Yeah. I'm curious, at this version of you, mm-hmm. what would you tell whatever version of you? Mm-hmm. What would you tell them? And you decide the version of you. I don't know the version that might need to hear what this version of Sam has to say. Because you are so different in the best way.
Yeah.
Where you've come, where you are right now is a different Sam than I've ever seen.
Yeah. I would say even to myself 6 months ago. Oh, yeah. It's going to be scary. But, like, I've been through scarier things. And if this means you get to truly love yourself, then lean all the way in. Mm. And I think that's where a lot of us get hung up, is not knowing when the end is going to happen. Because the end is just the beginning.
Right.
Right? It's always that way. And so for this 6 month ago version of me, there was a lot of things that I was scared of because I didn't know what it was going to look like. And I had like made this whole vision of what my life was going to look like. And now it's not that at all. And I'm so excited for what is to come because I do know myself better. I have so much more worth. And I'm like, oh damn, like this is going to get real good, because what I thought was going to be good is beautiful in its own right for that version of Sam. But now I'm really excited for what's to come. So it's going to be scary, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. I feel like oftentimes when I'm in a situation where I'm like, oh shit, this is the end, and it's feeling really chaotic.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm getting into this initiation of transformation. I'm like, I don't know when is the end going to stop? Yeah. When in this scenario do I stop reaping the repercussions of the decisions that I had made? Mm-hmm. And where does the new repercussions and the positive start to show up?
Yeah.
I feel like that can be really hard to stomach, because you don't have a line of sight on when is the end.
Right.
What has kept you going down the path of still choosing to love yourself? Mm-hmm. Because autopilot, I know, feels safer.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I have a choice in this, honestly. Like, I know too much. And what, am I going to stay stagnant? I don't have that bone in my body. That doesn't exist inside of me. And so there's just not another option. Like, I must go forward. And for me, you know, borrowing confidence from historical evidence of myself being able to be resilient through things that I thought I was not going to make it through, quite literally, you know, and knowing that, okay, I did it then. I grew from that. I have a stronger muscle and resilience. I know that I can do it here. I don't like it. I will kick and scream through the process. My inner child is angry, and I know that I'm soothing a part of her at the same time. So it's, you know, like, I'm a parent. I tell my son things that he can't do for his safety all the time, and he's kicking and screaming through it. And I'm like, baby, I know that you don't like hearing this, but I'm protecting you. And so the journey is like protecting your inner child and helping her or him get to the other side. And so it's not a pretty process at all.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, everybody listening to this has been through something hard and you survived through it. And you came out on the other side knowing something deeper about yourself, maybe loving yourself more, or maybe having an opportunity to lean into that. And so it really is light on the other side. It's hard when you're in the middle of it because it feels really dark and you're like, we've been here for a long time. When is this ride going to be over? But I would say the quicker that you can surrender to that, the quicker you get out of it.
Mm.
And surrender is one of those words too. Like, logically we understand, right? And you can be in the middle of something. So I'm a sound healer. So people often say, like, I'm in session and I'm like, okay, surrender, 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 release, 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 just let go. And by repeating that over and over again is not surrendering and letting go. It's truly like hands wide open. I am not going to try anymore.
Right.
And allowing the void to do what it's meant to do is create space.
Yeah. I'm starting to more and more feel like words are not enough.
No.
For embodied terms, mm-hmm. or terms that require embodiment, like, yeah. surrender, mm-hmm. like self-worth, like even self-love.
Yeah.
Like wisdom.
I agree with you on all of those. Because it's one thing to say the words, to understand the meaning of them, and it's surface level. Like, we understand the surface of it. And it's not until it can go like deep into our cells, and then there's an inner standing rather than understanding, like right under the surface or into it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's this inner standing of what these terms really mean. And oftentimes it's different than what we think it is.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, 100%. Even with grief, and I feel like, yeah. there are stages of grief in relation to realizing how you've outsourced, you fill in the blank, mm-hmm. to realizing, oh, I'm the one that's going to do this. This is why I've been outsourcing it, because, yeah. I need somebody to fill me.
Yeah.
And the grief of what you thought was, and then having to deal with all of those things. One of the phases of grief, my embodied version of that was that nothing means anything. Like, nothing means nothing. Mm. Like, there's no meaning to anything.
Mm.
What is life even? What's the purpose? Why are we doing this? Why are we here? It's like grief has given such a beautiful, beautiful perspective that eventually I started to stumble onto, oh, this is why, like, this is why chaos has to happen. It's, yeah. a refinement. This is why you meet the same person over and over. It's a refinement. This, yeah. is why you made those choices. It's a refinement. Like, it's given such a beautiful perspective on the other end of it. But I would have never, that was all an embodied emotion that I can put terms to help someone understand the feelings that I felt. But I still feel like words are not enough.
It's lacking. It really is. And I think that's just a shortcoming on the human existence. But that's also why we are here, is to experience all of that and to find understanding and remember who we are. Remember that feeling. It's not that it doesn't exist within you. You just have to remember what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really like turning up the notches and like opening the gasket and letting things flood through you and be like, oh, I remember this.
Right.
This is familiar.
Right. I want to close with a ton of gratitude, mm-hmm. for you showing up so authentically. I feel like being at the position that you're in and serving in the way that you serve, I feel like there's not a lot of grace afforded to people, to be able to be vulnerable and authentic and go through something, because everyone looks to you and my outsource their knowing and their intuition and all the things yeah. to you. And I want to be cognizant that you know that that's like this thing that you might bear. It's not yours to bear, but I just right. want to acknowledge how that could be really difficult to show up here in this space and be so vulnerable and so open. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing that. And it is like, it's a big thing. Like, people depend on me to be a rock and be solid and come to you for wisdom. And when I'm going through my own stuff, I'm like, give me a pause for a second. Let me just be human. And so thank you for creating space for that. And I also think, like, if I can't show up this way, I'm really not doing what I am preaching. So
isn't it, life is so funny. You always make you practice what you preach.
Better, and like, better
oh,
do it.
Who's the person talking about transformation? Oh, me. Oh, I have to go through it on my own. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, mm-hmm. cool, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you. I love you.
Can I just say thank you so much for being here? It means the world to me that we're growing together. So if there's someone that you thought of while listening, please share it with them too. And when you share it, let them know that they're not on this journey alone. But also, if you just love this episode, take a screenshot, share it on Instagram, and tag me at Aisha so I can thank you for hanging with me on this journey. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget to rate and write a review with your favorite takeaway so this podcast can be shared with more people. And before I go, I want to thank you again for being here.